Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
There's a show. Now I'm getting nervous. You said there's a show. Where did Dick Lickerson go? That's what I want to know.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bledsoe here with Chris Moore. We have CTP behind the camera. We have traveled to Sacramento, California.
Hells yeah.
Why, you might ask? Well, the mighty Mark Bell lives here.
Yeah, why the fuck are you guys here?
Yeah. Quick disclaimer. I have a feeling the conversation, since we've been hanging out with Mark a little bit already today, that the conversations might get a little out of control. So if you have small children, you might want to send them to the other
room.
Turn
your speakers down.
Or large retarded children, too. They might be offended as well.
Yeah, maybe turn the volume up.
Those little retarded bastards.
Teach them something.
So we're here with Mark Bell. We're also here with Silent Mike.
That's me.
All I know is that Silent Mike is really good at making t-shirts.
That's
all I got right now.
Did you time me? How many did I make?
You whipped out like
17.
10 in like 5 minutes, man. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Bam.
Yeah. And you may have noticed that Chris Moore and I are both sporting the Jack and Tan. Tank tops.
The Jack the Tan lifestyle.
How much you benched on that?
How much you benched on that?
Please ignore this giant penis that I have resting on my nose here. Call the microphone.
Mark, can you give the folks at home that might not know who you are just a quick bio of your history here so they can understand why we might have come visit you? Or maybe they'll hear your bio and go, why the fuck are they talking to this guy?
They'll probably be pretty interested in it.
I don't know. Let's see. It all started when I was 2 years old. I don't even know. Just sit here and talk about myself?
Well, where did your journey and strength go? I guess you've been powerlifting
that
since
boring.
You've been powerlifting since fucking like middle school, right?
Can I talk about my butthole?
I mean, what's going on?
I've had some major butthole problems, and today I'm going to try to really bust it open, wide open, on camera today with some good mornings.
Define major, man.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Major.
We're going to train. All right, so Mark doesn't want to talk about himself, so I'll talk about him a little bit. Powerlifter. You've trained all over. Been at Westside Barbell at one point. Pro wrestler.
Some pro wrestling, yep.
Pro wrestling.
Oiled up.
You jumped off ropes, and did you ever do any flips off the ropes?
A little bit, yes.
Yeah, what was your finisher? What was your finisher called?
The stink bomb.
The stink bomb.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah,
you were also once an inline skater.
Yeah, that's true.
And I didn't know that shit.
All true.
How did you get up on rollerblades?
Some things just fall in line, and I was one of them.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
How'd you get the nickname, was it Mark Smelly?
Yeah, Smelly. I just have, had two older brothers. The son of a bitch that gave me the nickname, he's passed. But I just hated to take showers, so that was pretty much it. I hated to take showers, and they're like, you smell, you're stinky. And then I'd cry, and they thought crying was funny, so that's the nickname. It just stuck. The stench stuck to me.
Stuck from then all the way to here when you asked a question.
But I'm Mark Bell. I'm a powerlifter, I guess retired powerlifter, I would say now. I'm retired from competitive powerlifting, but I'm still lifting my face off in the gym, inside Super Training Gym, which we're inside of right now.
It's awesome.
Owner of Super Training Gym. Super Training Gym started in 2006. We have been kind of on the front lines of the strength world since that time period. My boy Jim McD started supertraining.tv, and supertraining.tv, a lot of people attached to that because we not only give out information, but it's also entertaining. At least I think it's entertaining.
Yeah, the YouTube channel is boss, man.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Infotainment, we call it.
Talk a lot about buttholes there.
Yeah, there's some butthole discussions for sure. Well, we talk a lot about fat guys. And we talk a lot about how gay shit gets in this gym because things do get very homosexual and up in here.
The other disclaimer is Mark likes to use the word gay a lot. It's don't take offense.
Yeah, not disrespectful. Yeah. It's just the way it is.
Hashtag no hetero.
No hetero.
You gotta get everybody out there, right?
Exactly, man.
Cover all the bases.
But yeah, through Super Training Gym, a lot of things have spawned from Super Training Gym, such as Power Magazine. Just something to fill a niche in the powerlifting community. It's the only strength magazine in the freaking world. The Slingshot was an invention of mine that has also come from Super Training Gym. That motherfucker's trying to be copying right now. So you motherfuckers know who you are. I have some attorneys that are fucking strong-headed like a motherfucker, and I got some deep pockets. and I will do everything I can to make sure that you motherfuckers burn in hell.
So now you know, you know who you are.
This guy's serious.
I put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into these products. I mean, they mean a lot to me. It's almost like having another child. I have two. The Slingshot's my third, I guess. Illegitimate child, I guess you'd say.
That's something that came out of years and years and years and years and years of grinding against barbells.
Grinding, man.
Figure out a way to keep shit working.
Tearing pecs. Did these other guys tear pecs off to come up with this invention? I don't think so.
Maybe they tore some,
fucking pecs.
Yeah, but these things are designed to keep you in the game. This has been a long journey of hustling in the gym and coming up with tools that allow you to keep doing what you love, right? This is what shit you just invented off the shelf to fucking make a few bucks or something.
Yeah, I've had people come up to me, and Mike has seen it firsthand. Jim McDonald's seen it firsthand. I have people come up to me nearly in tears because they're able to do something that they still enjoy. You know, I'm sure you run into it all the time. You probably run into people that like, oh man, I used to Olympic lift. Once you're out of Olympic lifting, I'd imagine that you're probably done. It's probably too hard to get back into it. The logistics of it and the mobility that's necessary for it is probably too hard. But
it's a tough road.
Yeah, yeah. And with the Slingshot and with somebody who has trouble benching, maybe they have a rotator cuff injury, they could slap the Slingshot on. They could still bench press. Maybe they're not as efficient as they once were, but they could still do some of the things that they enjoyed. I've had people just come up to me and give me great reviews on it, and it's been an awesome product to have, and it's the way I make my living.
Man, I've had some rotator cuff issues this past year, and I just got the Slingshot today.
I call it the rotary cuff.
I'm glad I
that there rotary cuff be blown
that
off.
There rotary cuff.
Yeah. I mean, I hope it's really beneficial for me, but I also have this. I'm like, oh man, am I gonna wish I would have bought this like 6 months ago? I'm gonna hate myself for not getting it sooner.
That's what people say when they take steroids. They take them.
Let's jump right into that shit, man.
And they're like, why was I so uptight, man? I should have just got on this shit a long time ago.
Fucking years ago, dude, I was riding in a car with a bunch of... I don't know if I told that story.
Dude, he's sweating. He's sweating. This is great, man.
Yeah, we're hot in here.
It's hot as shit.
It's
kind of sexy.
I am sexy.
Maybe that's just the glow with the Jack and Tan shirt.
Yeah, dude.
It's oil, actually.
My metabolism. I'm getting so jacked. I had a group of guys. We're having a fucking conversation one time in a bus going to Powder Meet, and the shit came up. Like, yeah, I'm on this because my joints are this, that, together. Hey, what do you take? Oh, nothing. And everybody's fucking silence across the room. And then one question from the back. Why? Why would you try to even do this shit if you weren't on?
Dude, what's the point?
Well, I guess that's why. I'm a little bit more beat up, I guess, than I'd like to, because I did give it a go for a very, very long time, man, to fucking stretch it out without the assistance. But yeah, it's a good point. If you go on, it's going to make things better, I suppose, shit.
Well, if you're in a sport where it's not against the rules, it almost seems silly to me not to do it.
Yeah, I mean, some sports, it's just become part of the sport. It's just become part of the game. You know, you look at some sports like baseball, you know, coaches are stealing signs from other coaches on whether the guy's stealing or what the guy's doing. They'll steal pitches. They'll steal all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of cheating and, ways of smudging the rules a little bit in just about every sport. And a lot of times people just kind of let it go. And that's sort of what happened with powerlifting. There is drug-tested powerlifting federations, but I always like to point out that those aren't drug-free powerlifting federations. Those are drug-tested powerlifting federations.
If somebody gets caught, you don't go, that's the damn dirty cheater who tried to sneak by the rules. No, that's the dude who didn't fucking get his timing right.
Yeah, right. And, it's part of bodybuilding. It's a huge part of bodybuilding. You cannot be a pro bodybuilder without it. So it's part of... It's part of the game, I guess. And some people choose not to, and some people choose to. Who cares?
Those are the two sports I think of when I hear like sports where drugs are pretty much.
I think CrossFit. I think about burpees. I'm like, no way can someone do a burpee.
There's no way.
A natural burpee? Show me someone doing a fucking burpee naturally. I don't think it exists.
Well, we were talking about, man.
Overhead squat. What about you? Overhead squat. And that's got to be, you know, come on. He's got to be using a little DECA, a little bit something.
Do you think
he's not saying anything? See?
Yeah. Do you think you could be?
He's guilty.
Would you? Do you think you could be a world-class CrossFitter without assistance of some kind? Do you think it's possible to go through that grind without something?
I think it's always possible. I don't think you want to rule anything out. Like it is possible that Usain Bolt doesn't take anything, but I don't really know. You know, with a lot of the CrossFitters that I work with, it's my belief that they're clean. Mm-hmm. Probably not everybody else's belief because they work with me.
it's a hot button topic lately.
But they're really, you know, a lot of the guys I work with are really gifted. They're really efficient. A lot of the guys are fucking strong. I work with a guy, Blair Morrison. A lot of you guys are familiar with. Yeah. Blair's squatted 440 pounds. He looks very thin. He's like 6'1", maybe 6'2". I don't know.
Yeah, around 280.
Yeah, he's around 200, but he's just tall. they got very, very thin legs. I mean, his quads are probably like the size of my elbow joint or something like that. I mean, he doesn't have big quads, but he's very strong, you know, and also work with Ben Alderman and a few other guys. And as far as my knowledge, you know, goes, I believe they're clean and they are able to go to a really high level. Ben was in third pretty much all weekend at NorCal Regionals, and then he blew one of the wads.
Wad.
Yeah, he blew a wad.
Can I get a hay now?
Sorry, hey now. No. Ben struggled in one event, and that set him back. He still ended up finishing really well. He finished seventh overall. But yeah, it's possible. You know, it's possible for some of these guys to be clean. Are some guys not doing it the right way, or are they clean? Probably not. You know.
Well, it's almost like if they're not trying to push some boundary. What do you, I mean, there's got to be some of it going on. I mean, just as far as healthy experimentation on some level, I mean, we're trying to find the boundaries with this new sport.
I always say that some people need to and some people don't. You know, there's guys out there that are stronger than me that it's my belief that they don't take anything, mm-hmm. you know? And so, you know, how is that possible? I don't know. But I do believe that it is possible. Some guys need it. Some guys like it. Some guys don't.
Well, some folks like, I mean, the most extreme example, I can think of is a guy like Mark Henry, who's just a fucking... guy's just not like all the way human like you are. I mean, he's like the joint size, the sheer natural talent.
I do believe genetics is a huge factor.
Yeah, the guy's 400 pounds can jump over a bench, you know, effortlessly. I mean, there's some people out there who, just because somebody is world class, I think there have been really high quality, like Shane Haymon. I don't think he was a, you never know for sure, but some guy like that, I would buy if he didn't quite, if he made it to the top on his own, I believe it. You
know? Mark Henry's power comes from him not wasting any energy. I actually wrestled with Mark Henry back in the day, and I remember after a long wrestling practice, our wrestling practices were about 5 hours or so, and we started at around 8 o'clock in the morning. Pro wrestling.
That sounds terrible.
I've heard that pro, I watched like a documentary on like guys that are prepping for pro wrestling. Yeah. It's fucking crazy.
It's brutal. It's just extremely demanding, and it hurts. There's no way of getting around it. And Mark, at the end of a long, long ass day, we used to always eat lunch, mm-hmm. and then a lot of times guys would meet up at Powerhouse Gym. Just kind of part of the protocol. We hit up like a Chipotle or something like that, and then about 2 hours later, we hit the gym. And so Mark is like leaning on his car. His car is about ready to die because he weighs 450 pounds. He's drenched in sweat. We're in Louisville, Kentucky.
Monster.
We're in the South, and he's sweating his balls off. He's just dripping with sweat, and he just looks over at me. He puts his hands up, and he's like, "Powerhouse." He gets in his car and takes off. And people are like, "What did he say to you?" I was like, "I think what he's trying to say is that, like, hey, man, after lunch, I'm going to see you motherfuckers at Powerhouse. But I'm too tired to say it." So I think that's the way that guy lives his life, and that's why he's so fucking strong.
Yeah, he's still pretty strong, even
he
with that crazy.
He conserves all that energy.
Yeah, guy.
Was not wasting any calories.
He was a 900-pound squatter and puller. Well, he's 400 pounds. I guess it helps a lot.
Jeez.
I don't know what the guy benched, but he's a monster.
Yeah, I think he benched 5-something, yeah.
And he made a pretty good run at doing Olympic lifting, which is one of those rare things that'd be, you know, a guy from American football background.
Reminds me of myself. He's good at everything.
Yeah.
And black.
Yeah.
That's right.
But that's true. He is. You mentioned, man, that we'll bring it up.
I got one more Mark Henry story.
Oh, fucking share it.
You want to hear it?
Yeah, of course.
You hear it? Absolutely.
We could get on Mark Henry
stories.
Does the fans want to hear it? Can I hear somebody?
Yeah. Oh my God, Mark Henry.
There we go. So I went to Powerhouse.
Powerhouse,
right?
Yeah.
And this is before I even knew Mark Henry was in Louisville, Kentucky. I didn't even know he was at the WWE training ground. I had no idea he was there. And I'm a huge fan of strength, huge fan of powerlifting. So he walks in and I'm like, holy shit, that's fucking Mark Henry. Meanwhile, there's all these other wrestlers coming around that are very popular on TV all the time, but I don't really care about them as much. I'm all excited that Mark Henry's there. And I'm like, holy shit, man, I'm going to like see if I can like work out with him, you know? And so I'm trying to work up the courage to like ask him if I could work out with him. And so he starts doing like a couple curls and I'm watching him like, oh, maybe it's just like a light day or something. So then I finally walk over to him like, hey, man.
You're like, hey,
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, it was probably more like that.
Mr. Henry.
Pissing myself a little bit, you know. And I went over to him. And I'm like, hey, man, you know, if you're about ready to work out, I'd love to work out with you. You know, if you're going to do some deadlifts or something like that. He's like, playa. He's like, those days are over. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, whatever you're doing, I'll work out with you. He's like, you want to shoot some hoops? And I was like, there's no fucking way I'm passing this down. Yeah. So we start shooting some hoops, and he misses every shot imaginable.
Yeah, he does. He's like too tired to lift his arms up.
I'm a little bit more coordinated than you might expect. I can shoot some hoops. I'm not good, but I can make some baskets here and there if I'm wide open. And so he's like, well, fuck this. He's like, I'm going to dunk. And I'm like, oh, my God. This is going to be great. It took him about three times, but I saw him dunk.
So he could dunk.
Yes.
I also knew Shane was
just
kind
of this weird,
too.
Like, traveling, double hopping, you know, double leg takeoff deal. But it was very awkward.
The only way I was ever like Mark was that I was probably at least as fat as he ever got. I got to look like 370. But the most I ever could get towards the rim, I could like jump as hard as possible and sort of flick my arm and maybe hit the bottom of the net. The fucking see a big guy dunk is exceptional.
I also, maybe I shouldn't share this story, but I ended up in a hotel room with Mark Henry.
Oh.
Hey now, the plot thickens.
Do you have a taste of sexual chocolate?
Sexual chocolate. I was playing some Madden football with Mark Henry, and I used to whoop his ass every single time that we played, and he would get pissed. So finally he gets pissed. He's like, you know what, man? He's like, I can't concentrate on this shit. I'm like, why, man? What's up? He's like, Vince McMahon wants me to weigh 400 pounds. I'm like, Mark, that's ridiculous. You're a big guy. There's no way you can only weigh 400 pounds. He's like, that's what I'm trying to tell him. He's like, I can't weigh that. He's like, I'm going to put on some porn. I'm like, what? Where the fuck did that come from? I'm like, dude, I'm going to get out of here then. You do what you got to do. It's his hotel room. Like, you do whatever you need to do. He's like, no, man. He's like, you got to see this. You got to see this one scene. I'm like, no, I'm not watching porn with you. Like, this is too weird. You're a 400-pound black man. I'm stuck in here. You're the world's strongest man.
If you get provoked in some way, I got like, no escape here. Yeah, what am I going to do?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of an exit strategy.
You look over to see if the chain is on the lock. Like, oh, shit. I don't have the speed to get out of here if something goes south.
He made me watch some of it.
That's weird.
So what'd you think? What was the scene? Was it a good scene?
It was good. It was a gagging scene. You know? Hey, you know.
Oh shit! Dude, you mentioned
we just lost half of our audience.
Yeah. You mentioned helping out the CrossFitters, right? And the CrossFit scene is amazing because people are engaging of all things. Yeah, weightlifting, but also powerlifting, and there's this weird sort of crossover. And there are some things that can definitely help CrossFitters. But you mentioned people might give you shit for maybe your background.
Right.
So I guess a lot of that came out of, you're pretty, I mean, there's a certain amount of notoriety that came out of the documentary, right? Bigger.
Right.
I always
get
the name backwards. Because
bigger,
cause old
stronger,
high school
faster?
Strength
doesn't matter. I don't know either.
Because I did the bigger. High school training program, I had like bigger, faster, stronger, but the opposite, bigger, stronger, faster.
No, I think it's bigger, faster. Bigger, stronger, faster.
Where everybody knows the documentary. Chris Bell.
Chris
Mark's
Bell
brother,
probably doesn't know the name, though.
He probably doesn't fucking know it. But yeah, I mean, that was the honest portrayal of your sort of your move through power thing and what experiences have been. I guess people will probably give you a lot of shit for your honesty in that documentary, right?
I get a little bit here and there, but what I always like to be able to point out is like, you know, a lot of times I'll post a picture, a selfie or something like that, and someone will be like, steroids.
Oh, every fucking time.
Right? And you know, I can always point to that and say, look, I said my piece, you know, I said my piece in a film that was seen worldwide, and you can
it's
still
on Netflix.
Yeah, you
it's
can
great,
still watch it on
Go
Netflix.
Check that shit
you
out,
download it on iTunes. You can still watch it.
Dude,
so.
I remember when that movie came out. It was coming out, and we were like, "Oh shit, can't wait!" Fucking posted. We went and got it. So you watched it at school?
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
Yeah, oh really?
Derek to powerlifter Derek Kendall, who's a teacher.
Wow.
And he shows it to his students. He's a health teacher.
Wow.
Yeah. You will shut the fuck up in that guy's class, won't you? That guy's a mountain man.
Yeah, 350 pounds of oh
yeah,
no.
He just squatted 1,019 here raw, but unfortunately he took a little step at the top and it was no lift, but it was a good call by the judges and stuff, but you know, it was just amazing to see him handle that kind of weight. He successfully squatted 942, which was intense to see.
Yeah,
smashed it.
So I guess the thing that would frustrate the shit out of me is that people somehow say, oh yeah, we have abs. So that means anything you've got to say about training,
right,
all these years of hard work, anything you've got to say about diet somehow doesn't mean a fucking thing. And it somehow justifies them not having the abs.
Right.
Like, well, that guy, he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about, man. He took steroids.
Oh, it's a great excuse. It's a great excuse not to do anything good yourself.
Yeah, people like to talk about the topic a lot. And the thing, the most frustrating thing of all that is that, you know, they'll say, you know, I don't like this guy because he's on steroids, but meanwhile, they like another guy. And it's like, well, that other guy that you like is on him too.
Yeah.
He just never talked about it.
Yeah.
You just never heard him really openly say anything.
It's a common thing, friend.
Like I said earlier, you know, some people feel that they need it. I got to a point where I feel I needed it, and so I took them. You know, it's very simple. I think when you're working out, if you feel like something works well for you, you stick with it. You feel like something's not working well for you, you get rid of it. You feel like something fucking hurts, you stop doing it. You feel like something feels good, you start doing it, and you do it more.
When the truth is,
a lot of it's very simple. You break it down to its simplest form.
All these people are out there taking all these whack supplements because they hope for the same results.
Yeah.
What makes that okay?
It's not so good for you, is it, Mike?
Steroid-like effects.
People say, oh, steroids are bad, but they'll take anything that they hand out for free at the Arnold Classic.
Any powder that they have no clue what's in it, they'll take it.
That's a really good
all day
example.
Long.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
I mean, like when I was younger, I remember going to the shop. And I would, I wanted the most extreme thing that was legal.
Yeah, what's going to give me Jack, bro?
And then
Ultimate Orange.
It was whatever was behind the glass.
I hear amazing things about that.
Right.
Whatever was behind the glass. It was behind the glass for a reason. I have no idea why, because I was 18 and they just handed it to me. But but yeah, it was like.
I remember one time I went to like a GNC and I wanted to get something. I'm like, I'm trying to get bigger for football. And the guy's like, oh, he's like, I'll be right back. He goes to the back. He goes to the back and gets something out of the back, like Andersteen or some shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what this is. And he started telling me about it, raise your testosterone levels or whatever. And he's like, yeah, it's like $80. I'm like, I don't think I need that.
Oh, dude,
it was in the back.
I don't know how
part.
Many supplements I took that got banned like 2 months later.
Right.
It's like, remember Mag 10?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That shit was effective.
Yeah. all those trend.
What was that?
All those trend products. Mag 10 bio test.
Are we allowed to say the... companies?
Go for it.
Yeah, T-Nation, I think it's a T-Nation biotest supplement. It's a hydrolyzed hydrosylate protein or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Some shit like that.
With a lot of other good things in it.
I just remember fancy. I remember being in the gym and being like, man, I've never had a... This is back when I was in the Navy. I'm like, I've never had a pump like this. Wake up one day, got a bloodshot eye. I'm like...
Oh, I thought you were saying
boner. Wake up one day, had a boner.
What is going on? Oh yeah, my boners were harder and everything else.
To me, it was just some like Eastern European and surplus drug.
I went back to get more, and they were like, "Sorry, it's been banned." I was like, "Oh, that's why it worked."
Yeah.
It was like it has something in it. Something.
Yeah, they're banning things that are effective.
Right. Some gnarly horse stimulant or something.
When I was in high school, I bought the Andro.
Right.
Andersteen Dion, whatever.
Wait, Mark started banging homers left and right. Yeah,
but
shit.
I felt good about it because it was...
You bought it from a show.
But I bought it from because I bought it from a shop.
Well, that's what they say about all those companies too, is they'll throw something special in the first batch. Everybody gets results off it, and then they take it out.
So you should always just buy first batch.
Yeah, the brand new
supplement.
Go to
the next first batch.
Don't wait around for evidence. Just, when something comes out cool, just take a bunch of it.
And this is where it's actually...
You got to double the dose, though.
Double the dose.
This is where it might be actually safer just to go for the stuff that... is banned. Like if you're competing in a sport where it's illegal, obviously you should not do it. But if you really are pushing the limits, I consider it safer just to go for the thing that is banned, because when you're going after the other stuff, you don't know what you're getting.
Right.
It's not studied. People have been taking things like testosterone for decades. What, 50 years? And
it's just
it's like we know what happens when you take it. This other stuff that's over the counter, it's still kind of like,
we just discovered this five years ago.
The topic seems very strange to me. It seems like it should be simplified. Seems like if you want to be really strong, you want to be big and strong, there should be somewhere where you can go to get testosterone, to get things like that. I mean, I don't know why that doesn't exist. I don't know why.
Do it the right way. I don't know what you're taking.
I don't know
much.
Why you can't go to the doctor and say, I want to be the best bodybuilder I can be. I want to be on testosterone. I want to take advantage of that. I want to have fucking big jacked muscles and I want to be strong.
And maybe have that guy help you not blow your body apart, right?
But if you go in and say, you know, I'm thinking about having a sex change, they'll give you hormones that'll have you start heading in that direction before you ever have the actual surgery.
Well, what about overseas? Things are way different, yeah? The UK, a lot's legal. Right. A lot of people are taking shit in the UK, I think.
And you go to fucking Tijuana and get whatever you want.
Yeah, that's true. Mexico, it's on. Everybody's jacked in Mexico.
I've been overseas since 2005. The last time I was overseas was in Europe was 2005. And yeah, I remember going out and yeah, you just buy it in the pharmacy.
Yeah, I think especially the UK.
La Pharmacia.
I imagine other places.
That's right.
Buy some chiclets and some fucking test.
Well, I guess the most dangerous things are if you're going to find something and you think it's one thing and it's something else, that's dangerous as shit. Or you think it's this thing and it is, but you don't know how much you're taking.
Right.
Or you're getting it because you think it's okay because it is from a shelf, or a doctor said, here's a prescription drug you can take it, and then thinking, well, I don't do these other nasty street drugs.
You know,
it's cheater drugs, but I take this shit. Meanwhile, that's
pain.
What's destructive. Yeah, pain drugs.
People don't really realize you can take a bottle of testosterone. You could take fucking 50 cc's of testosterone, and you can inject it into a bunch.
That sounds like a bunch.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
We don't know what that means, Mark.
A 50 cc bottle looks about like yay, okay? And it's about that thick. Yay and yay, right?
Where would you inject that?
It would be a lot of oil. Well, people put it in all kinds of
things. You do all 50 cc's at once?
You could, what I'm trying to say is you could do all 50 cc's at one time and you would be fine. The only problem that you would have is you'd have pain from the injections.
Yeah.
It's not like drinking a cup of coffee with a couple shots of espresso where you take it and boom, you're going crazy. Your mind's going a mile a minute. Steroids, they take a long time to like settle in. But I think people have this mindset that you take them and then all of a sudden they do something crazy for you.
You become Ben Affleck in an HBO movie. He's like, ah! Yeah. Remember that shit? He's like crashing around in his living room.
Here, you ever see that movie?
Take this bag of steroids.
No. He started popping pills. At one point, he's shaking. Oh, I got to get more in. I'm not suggesting. Like the no-dos. And he's flopping around like a fish on his living room floor. Right.
I'm not suggesting anyone do that, but
there's a lot.
You can take a lot of it, and it's not gonna. You're not gonna have like you're not gonna feel sick. You're not gonna feel much of anything from it.
Well, it's like a tetanus shot, right? You take a tetanus shot, and you just get sore.
Right.
Yeah. I don't even know what the fuck is in that needle, but they've put it in me before.
No questions asked, because it's the doctor.
Yeah, I mean, that's the truth. Guys. Yeah.
But they're peddling. Right. That's the thing. Like to call yourself drug free, or to call to take some kind of ethical, I'm better than you position. Because I don't take. Everybody's on some drugs.
Right.
And even before steroids were a problem, like in sports, like baseball. Go back until the very first moment where somebody's like, I want to play you in baseball. They were fucking taking like crude amphetamines, doing whatever they could do to get an edge, putting shit on the ball, batting with whatever the hell they could find. Like giving it's anytime people are going to compete in anything, they're going to inject, they're going to take, they're going to huff, they're going to sniff, anything to get an advantage. This is what primates do, man. Like, I'm going to beat you. Yeah. I'm going to beat you any way I can. I'm going to beat your ass today any way I can. Looking at Mike Bledsoe.
Oh. Yeah, you guys are lift off today.
That was the first bit of confidence I've seen from you in days.
Lift off.
It's a Jack the Tan lifestyle. Yeah. Yeah, it to me. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Yeah, you see sweating, tank top?
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm drinking this right now, which I never,
bam.
I am a lightweight when it comes to stimulants.
You should probably get a diaper on then.
We got him hopped up on steroids.
And that would explode. Mark Bell gave me loads of steroids this morning.
Tons.
More than I could probably handle.
They were in the steak you ate.
Yeah, he said he put it in the
grass fed.
It was unintentional on my part. I found out after the fact that he definitely put lots of drugs in my food.
It's important to get the non-organic and to find the cows that are given the most hormones.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't get the logic.
Hormone free. Like, no, I want to have the most shit in them. Yeah. Yeah, give me those jacked and tan cows any day of the week.
Would you speak about drugs? Like, if you were gonna go back, I'm saying the thoughts that come to mind.
He's like sticking to the script and shit.
There's no script. I'm just having an interesting idea. I get them. I gotta hold on to them because they go away quickly. But would you train any different for powerlifting if you weren't gonna do the steroids? Because it's the one thing I have. People always said like I trained like a little West Side style, right? And I always get constantly told like you can't do that without taking steroids. I go, I don't take anything, man. I do just fine. In fact, I think it makes more sense to train this way instead of just doing endless sets of 10 or whatever I was doing before. I always thought it was a better way to train. I max out all the time, drug free. So what? I'm still strong.
I think it's a huge key that you believe in whatever system it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, if you believe that it's working. That is more magical than somebody trying to pound it into your head that some other system's great. If you think it's working well for you, then it's probably going to work well for you as long as you stick to it.
Yeah.
I've always trained the same. I've always kind of powerlifted. I've always lifted heavy. Looking back at it now and just having some different perspectives on it, I wish that I would have normally done more repetitions here and there, at least after the heavy work that I did. And by high reps, I'm talking outside of powerlifting, you know, powerlifters talk high reps and they think 3 to 5. I'm talking like 8 to 30, you know, somewhere in that range.
Some same real, thing for weightlifting.
Really, really, really jacked up. And a lot of times weightlifters will say that high reps don't work, but who really knows? Like who's really destroying themselves with 50 rep sets? You don't really know unless you're doing them.
Well, I would say,
sounds like it'd be detrimental.
There are some weightlifters in certain parts of the world that are doing more bodybuilder-ish type rep set schemes with certain exercises.
I remember when I went to Reebok, one of my sponsors, by the way. I remember going to Reebok and, you know, they kind of asked me, hey, what do you think we need in this gym? And I was like, well, the gym's got tons of space. That's cool. Can do lots of CrossFit-y stuff in here.
Run around and shit in here.
Yeah, there's some racks and there's a lot of different stuff. And they put some money into it, you know, whatever. But they didn't have one cable. They didn't have one cable to speak of any kind. I think a huge thing missing, a huge element missing from the weightlifting community, somewhat missing from the powerlifting community, but not so much there, but hugely missed by the CrossFit community is some simple bodybuilding movements. If you look at the CrossFitters that are good right now, it's not like there's some that have been CrossFitting for about 10 years now, because CrossFit's been around for a little while now, but a lot of these CrossFitters have only been doing it for 5 or 6 years and they're reaching these elite levels. They're getting to the CrossFit games and they're performing really well and they're background stems from other stuff. They have some sort of bodybuilding background, maybe some sort of lifting yeah. background.
The guys like Jason put in their time lifting weights.
Yeah there's jacked. No doubt.
They're just bodybuilders.
Jason and Rich Froning.
Jason Kalipa for the audience.
They both have, you know, they both have pecs. It's obvious they spent some time benching.
Sexy pecs.
And maybe a pec deck here and there.
Yeah, maybe some cable crossovers.
They wouldn't admit to it, but everybody did a fucking pec deck. Yeah. Everybody
Kelly Starrett was talking about how he loved the pec deck last time we talked to him. Yeah. Hashtag pec deck.
Dude, I used to do pec deck negatives,
man. He's still doing that shit.
His so pecs good. Are huge. I could tell, actually, now that you mention it.
Yeah, you can tell.
And you would go, you'd go elbows, and then you'd switch it up, and you'd grab, and you'd pinch and squeeze.
Yeah, you like got to rotate.
Crushing
hold, somebody's head.
down.
But yeah, a lot of times, you know, a bigger muscle is going to be a stronger muscle. You got more, you know, when you're doing something like and it might not always be beneficial for every lift, but when you're doing something like a bench press, you have the luxury of, if you have a big forearm, your forearm's going to rest on your bicep, your tricep's going to rest on your lat when you do a bench press. Anyone who's got a huge bench press is going to have enough muscle to benefit from that. People that don't have a huge bench press are probably not big enough.
I see the bigger muscles. I mean, obviously, so you can get stronger without making the muscle bigger. But the muscle size helps with the durability.
Right.
And if a muscle's more durable, it's not going to get injured. You can train it longer without taking time off.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, a bigger muscle is definitely a stronger muscle. Yeah. And a lot, there's different types of training. You can go for bigger muscles without as much strength and vice versa. Yeah.
Something simple like, you know, not like it's the greatest movement in the world, but if you do something like a preacher curl, if you can handle it's like a 70-pound dumbbell, your bicep is probably anchored in to everything else a little bit better than the next guy. So the odds of you tearing a bicep when you go to do a heavy deadlift are probably less.
And doing a lot of time under tension, you know, more reps or doing, say, a tempo is going to help increase that tendon strength.
That's right.
And so it's going to help keep you from getting injured, not even from a muscular.
And you can only get so much from the barbell movements. You can only get so much from doing a clean, a snatch, a bench, a squat, a deadlift.
Especially as you get older.
You can only do so
many.
Get
beat up.
Especially as you get older.
Well, not only as you get older, but when you're brand new too. When you're new to the sport.
If you have weaknesses.
And you can only lift, let's say, like in a squat, you can only handle 225. Your volume for the day is going to be very poor. It's going to be extremely low compared to that of somebody who's squatting 500 for sets of three. Mm-hmm. So you got to find ways of making up that lack of volume.
I had people one time tell me, like, you know, I used to do a bunch of assistant stuff and I need to go back to doing it because it's going to help me keep in the game. The older you get, the more you need to do a little
bit
less.
You need to be more jacked and tan is what you're saying.
More jacked and tan, and also build up the things that are sort of rotten and falling off. You know, get the work in any way you can.
I like that.
Did rotten
you
say rotten? Falling off, yeah.
Rotten.
I've got some rotten bits that need to be rebuilt. Yeah. But like one thing I always liked, I used to have trouble explaining like a barbell makes you strong in a certain, you come out of a sports science background, certain loads give you certain things and you got to lift heavy to get strong. Yeah, true. But you also got to fucking get in shape to sort of buy in to get the right to lift a heavy barbell. If you just jump into squats and start adding load, or if you just try to work form, you don't do a lot of, you have no time doing back raises or ab work or glute hams or farmer's carries. Like you're not prepared. You haven't earned the right to lift a barbell, really. You haven't done your fucking work.
The most old school, strongest guys, you know, Ed Cohn and some of these guys did freaking leg curls and leg presses.
Leg extensions,
When's the last time you saw that in a CrossFit gym or even a powerlifting gym?
You know, Mike, we talked about too, like we spent a lot of years just doing, you did your fair share of knee extensions, didn't you?
I sure did. Yeah, every leg day.
And like religiously for probably a decade.
And that's why my quads are amazing.
We were just talking to the Lillibridge family. Biggest squatter family in the probably the world right now is a family for sure.
So tell the audience, like Eric Lillibridge.
Eric Lillibridge, 275 lifter, squatted high 900s.
Yeah.
Deadlift 900.
Squats 959, I think.
With a belt and knee wraps, which is...
Yeah, belt and knee wraps, which is raw, ladies and gentlemen.
Raw enough.
Raw. And then... Ernie Jr., 782 at 220.
Yeah, and it has the 198 all-time squat record and world total record. Yeah. And they do leg extensions.
Pops, we're like, squats so, 8 something, 826. Yeah. He's 42 years
they
old.
They all deadlift close to 800 pounds or more. They're freaks. And they all said, we're like, so what do you do after your squats? Well, we're done for that day. And then tomorrow we come in and do some abs and leg extensions.
Well, think about this. You know, there's seven days a week. And how many days do they devote to powerlifting? Two. And the other days are devoted to bodybuilding. Because like I said earlier, you can only get so much out of the power movements or the weightlifting movements before you start to run into a lot of problems.
If you're that strong, if you're squatting 900 pounds, if you try to do that frequently, or if you're not paying really close attention to how you recover, you're going to tear yourself asunder.
Yeah. Right.
That's probably why, I think we were talking with Justin Thacker.
The butthole, it goes back to that butthole.
Yeah, everybody loves to watch like Klokov smash crazy odd lifts, right? And he does them with pauses. He'll pick up like 400 pounds and hold it in mid-thigh, and then just, you know, or like 300 pounds and just snatch it after like a 10-second pause. Why?
He's a beast.
Because he's so strong, if he just snatches, he could probably just tear himself apart because he's got another 2 years to go for the Olympics.
He's pretty jacked and tan.
He's jacked and tanned.
I didn't know I didn't know they were so tan in Russia. But
he, you know, when we interviewed him for Power Magazine, I mean, that was the main thing that he promoted was like, I just got to get stronger, period.
Yeah.
And so he finds a lot of different ways to get stronger. He's not always just thinking about the clean and jerk and the snatch. He's thinking about how do I make myself stronger in a bunch of different positions. And you see like,
that's like Westside
some
or something.
Of the stuff he's, yeah, some he of the stuff he's showing. He's some of the stuff he's showing people now, or you know, some of the shit's crazy. Like
you see
that
shit he did yesterday on Instagram.
Yeah, that GHD, whatever.
Yeah, what the shit?
Back, snatch grip back raise. So like you had the, the bar awesome. In a snatch position. So he had it out in front, and as he did a back raise, the bar is swinging out and over like he's doing a snatch, which is insane.
I want to try that now. I saw that video.
You
on
ever
Instagram.
See Mikhail Kokilev, 245 pounds of weight on the bar? I believe he had something like that, and he just takes it. He's kind of in like a floor press position, and he sits all the way up with it and has it over his head when he sits up.
Yeah, a sit up. So it, just like try, a spread to eagle do, sit yeah, up. Try to do that with just a PVC pipe in your hand.
Yeah, you'll
just
fall.
Yeah. You won't be
or a bar. I mean,
or I heard stories of who's the Zydrunas Savickas, my favorite strongman of all time. This guy is a vanilla gorilla. This guy's a monster.
He's got that belly.
He couldn't have any of a bigger belly. But he did like that. I think there's a thing called a Zydrunas press, right? Or a
Z press.
Yeah, Z press.
You're sitting down, so hard. Upright, but your feet are out in front of you. So
you look like a fat
position.
Kid. In a rack.
And you're trying to do military press. And you try to do it with just a bar.
Yeah.
And you struggle and flail and shit your pants.
Sitting there is hard.
And he does it with 300 pounds for reps.
It's harder than a strict overhead. It's way harder.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's take a break real quick, and when we come back, we're going to find out what drugs Mark put in my food and the workout that Chris is going to try to keep up with me on.
Fuck
hell
you, dude.
Hell yeah.
Barbell Shrugged is brought to you by you. To learn more about how you can support the show, go to barbellshrugged.com and sign up for the newsletter.
Eating paleo? Getting skinny?
Eating them pork rinds. All right, here we go. 3, 2. I'll go off.
And we're back. Well, I figured he wasn't eating that.
Yeah, being a 280-pound monster.
Yeah. Not eating paleo over there.
Broccoli all day. That's it.
Broccoli farts are the best.
All right, Mike. Mike, what are we doing for the workout today? We're doing a Mike Marathon?
The Mike Silent Mike Marathon. I'm eating pre-workout Skittles for all you paleo people.
Yeah.
We got...
Put them on
Cambridge
the
Bar. Good mornings.
So, folks at home, that is a bar that...
TM,
the weight's on your back, but the weight kind of... The bar bends down, and you grab it low by your hips. It's got a giant N, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, or you.
Or, yeah, depending on how you look at it, I guess.
Big old bend.
Yeah. That's great. Look at our perspectives. They're different.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And it's going to be suspended in some chains. So, it's bottoms up.
Bottom up, good morning.
Bottoms up.
We're going to go to like maybe a RPE 8. That's a rate of perceived exertion. Nothing like heavy, but not maximal.
So not, I'll be, not I'll quite, be, almost blowing
I
our assholes up, but not quite.
We weren't going to talk about math.
Fuck.
Oh, that was off limits. Sorry.
Yeah.
Cover your ears, Mark Bell.
So,
the good, all right, so we're going to do some heavy shit.
Heavy good morning.
3 or 5, something like that. Then we're going to go do some heavy more pulls, maybe some block pulls off the super plates.
Deadlifts.
Then I got some speedy squats, like 5 sets of 4 or something, just trying to be fast.
Those at home, speedy squat is a speed squat.
Yeah, dynamic.
That's the nomenclature, speedy squat.
Yeah, something
hashtag
like that.
Speedy.
We're going to blow our faces up.
Yeah, try to be fast, but we're not going to be that fast.
Yeah.
And then I forgot, we got front squats.
Powerlifting fast.
Yeah. Well, it's more just like tired as shit fast.
Okay.
Because we can move a little bit, but we'll be tired.
Yeah.
Then we'll front squats I forgot about, which you guys will probably kick my ass in.
I suck more than that than anything.
Like I got a couple sets of like maybe 250 for a couple sets of 4 or something.
No.
Yeah. See, easy for you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to get to that.
Yeah. And then, and then we got,
if I can get there.
Then we're going to go double overhand deadlifts from the floor.
No hook grip. So
no hook grip. Yeah, none of that bullshit.
So folks in the audience can hear.
Cheating. If you go no hook grip. Think about it already. I'm going to hook those.
If you grab.
He just checked it off in his head before we even
grab a deadlift and you don't hook it and you don't use alternating grip, that's going to work the hell out of your hands.
Yeah, you're going to get jacked and tan in the forearms.
Jacked and tan in the forearms.
Well, what do you see in a t-shirt? Calves and forearms. So that's what we work.
Yeah.
That's what we work. Then we got chain weighted planks. Those kill.
Oh shit.
Planks?
Yeah, just max effort.
Dude, the last time I did a plank
walk
was
into plank.
Sunday morning when I was doing yoga. Is this going to be the same
this
thing?
This will be probably more
it'll feel just the same without the gay music. So weird.
I'm an eclectic training man.
Oh yeah?
I like it all. So I might be at a planking yoga studio on Sunday and I might be at super training on Tuesday.
You're not Renaissance man.
Yeah.
That's the barbell shrug life.
And I'm planking it everywhere.
Shrug life. Hell
shrug
yeah.
life.
No more math. Mark's mad.
I'll just take over.
Is that all we're doing for the workout? That's all we're doing?
Welcome to Mark Bell's Powercast, brought to you by BSN, bodybuilding.com.
And then we'll probably run like at least a quarter mile and then be done.
Quarter mile?
I'm just joking. We don't run.
Please don't scare me.
Oh, we got to go get a 40.
40.
40s.
Post-workout nutrition.
Are we drinking 40s or are we running 40s?
We're going to be drinking them.
Oh, well, I'm down.
Pouring them out for our homies.
I can do that.
What is the, we're living the Jack and Tan lifestyle. We're going to lift the weights. What sort of, for those at home who want to also follow this lifestyle, what nutrition side, how do we get Jack and Tan from a nutrition perspective? What's your go-to meal plan, Mark?
I like to just try to simplify everything when it comes to lifting or when it comes to diet.
Know what we're thinking, right? Fuck that.
You know, just try to make things simple. I mean, you know, at some point, you're going to have to get yourself dedicated and motivated enough to have your nutrition intact. You're going to have to try to pre-plan your meals. When you don't plan ahead, you plan to fail, is kind of the saying there. And you're going to have to teach yourself to eat less at some point. You're going to have to get rid of a bunch of junk. You're going to have, if you're fat and you're not happy with your current physique, current build, you're probably going to have to eat less than what you're currently eating, or at least make some drastic changes in what you're currently eating.
Eat some of the less of the garbage.
Yeah, eat less of the garbage, eat more of the good stuff.
Fewer Skittles.
In terms of go-to stuff, I like to just tell people just to cut carbs out, just because it helps simplify things. I call it the fat guy diet, because it seems like it's an easier plan for guys who are addicted to sugars and addicted to junk. It seems like an easier thing to follow. Once they break the habit after about 7 or 8 days, then it seems like they can stick to it.
It's a fucking addiction, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a cycle. I mean, once you get the sugars in you, once you get any carb in you, when you're carb addicted, like I am, once you get any carbs in you, it signals your brain to eat more carbs. So the easiest thing to do is just completely get rid of them, and to try to get rid of them for long periods of time. Why not see if you can go like 14 days without them? Try not to see if go a month without them. You're not going to die from it. I don't think.
You know, the thing that changed,
that's actually the one macronutrient the body does not have to have.
Yeah,
right?
I hear people say that, but you know, you could probably go without, you could eat just protein. I'm sure you could eat just fat. You could eat just carbs even, and you could probably still be fine. I mean, you're going to probably run into some sort of health issue at some point.
They've actually shown people die from a protein only diet.
That's awesome.
With rabbit starvation.
The rabbit starvation. Yeah. That's awesome. Because rabbits only have protein on them.
Right.
People were eating
motherfucking rabbits,
and they died.
I ain't no rabbit.
Okay, look, rabbits are dumb, right? People are smart. Our bodies are going to turn shit into whatever we need.
These were people eating rabbits.
Oh. That's different. The rabbit diet?
That would
be them eating protein and fat.
There's not enough fat on a rabbit. That was the problem. If the rabbit had enough fat on it, the people would have survived, but they died only eating a rabbit.
I don't believe this study, first of all. But secondly,
it wasn't a study, but
somebody ate a bunch of rabbits. Right.
This happened rabbit way back stew. In the day. We'll have to find it on the internet.
I think it's bullshit.
If it's on the internet, it's true, man.
But basically, I feel like the body is too sophisticated, and whatever you're trying to do, whether you're trying to lose fat or gain weight, your body's going to actually start to counteract that. I mean, you think about even just down to like your taste buds, you know, like what does your mouth taste like right now? Besides dick,
Skittles.
Aside from cock, what does it taste like right now?
Inno explode residue.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of times it tastes like nothing. Even several minutes after you've eaten something, your body's always trying to get back to normal, right? Mm-hmm. Your body's always trying to get back to homeostasis, you know? So,
That's a pretty big word, Mark.
If you're trying to lose fat, I mean, it could be very difficult. It'd be a difficult road because your body's going to try to do some things to counteract that. But basically, a lot of people are super fucking soft when it comes to dieting. They're not training hard enough. They're not dieting hard enough. I hear people all the time saying they're having trouble losing weight. I just think it's fucking bullshit. I think you need to just put in a bigger effort. You know, they say like in business, double your efforts or quit. That's what people need to do with their diet. Either double your efforts or get the fuck out of it and just be fat the rest of your life.
It's pretty common to hear people go, well, dude, no, you don't get it, dude. I've tried that. I tried to eat to gain, or I tried to lose, or I tried to get strong, or I tried to do what you do, but any excuse in the world to sort of justify why they didn't get to where they got. And you look at what they actually do. Like if you put that shit on paper and you go, well, you sleep 5 hours a night, you eat half of what you should do, and you duck out on half the work you should be doing. You don't do anything that's hard for you in the gym. How would you expect to be strong?
People talk about a bunch of stuff that they're never going to follow through with. You know, I say cowards talk about what they'll never do. People talk all the time. They talk a big game about these different things they want to do. They come to me for advice. I give them fucking advice and they don't follow it. and I'm guilty of it too. I'm not, you know, 100% on everything all the time. It's ridiculous. I'm not perfect. It's too hard to achieve that. But if you can be 80%, if you can do 80% of your diet, you're going to be ahead of the game and you're going to be able to achieve a lot of the results that you're looking for. And that's goes the same with your lifting.
So many people are consistent with their lifting.
If you can achieve 80% of the program, you can follow through with 80% of that. That's actually really difficult to do, you know, and some people want to try to do 100% of it. That's fine. I just don't think that's sustainable for a really long time. It's not probably not something you can do for too long, but if you can, then more power to you. But the key is just, it's going to be consistency. It's going to be a long road. It's all the same shit that you hear over and over again. It gets to be boring after a while, but if you're not losing weight, just weigh yourself every day and fucking force yourself to lose weight.
Yeah, I think weighing yourself every day is a big key. I mean,
I know some people are against it, but just weigh yourself every day. Put yourself on the line.
If I'm trying to go up, if I'm trying to go up or down,
weigh less today than you did yesterday.
You know, if I'm not trying to go up or down, I don't really step on the scale. But if I'm trying to go up or down, step on the scale.
Right.
And that's motivation. Like sometimes I step on the scale, like, and I'm like, oh, I'm a pound lighter today than I was yesterday.
Right.
I must not have eaten enough yesterday or last night after I trained, and then I like double my efforts that day.
Right.
And I step on the scale the next morning and I got I got the positive result.
It's a habit that keeps you from slipping. I think people have really good intentions. They go, I have been training hard. But like one day you didn't quite train the way you should, and the next day you kind of repeat, and then maybe another day you kind of back off a little bit. Before you know it, 3 months goes by, you've actually cut a lot of work out. You're not even noticing because you kind of slowly have slipped because you're not doing anything to sort of check where you're at. You're not getting kind of...
You can also, you know, make yourself more accountable. You know, tell your buddy what your goal is. You know, tell your friend, dude, I want to lose 10 pounds, you know, over the next 6 weeks. And then he sees you eating a fucking cookie and he's like, you fat fuck, what are you doing? You said you want to lose
the cookie out of his mouth.
Yeah, you said you want to lose 10 pounds and you're not doing the things that are necessary to lose those 10 pounds.
I think that goes both ways too. I know we're talking about fat fucks, but what about skinny guys? They don't eat enough or work hard enough in nutrition either. Yeah. Like everybody, not
I'm
everybody,
a hard
you're
gainer.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people work hard in the gym because it's fun. It's fun to lift weights.
Yeah.
It's not fun to eat good and it's not fun to eat a lot if you're
It's not fun to push that fifth plate of food across the table.
But if you're one of those skinny dudes and you're, you know, lifting right pretty good, sleeping pretty good, you know, doing all the right things, you're not gaining weight and you're blaming it on some supplement or blaming it on your program, go eat something.
Dude, I tell you what, I mean, I fall into the hard gainer category, and it was like a few years ago that I recognized the reason I was a hard gainer is because I didn't have a big appetite.
Yeah, right. That's the difference.
And I wasn't eating as much as the guys that were gaining weight.
Right.
It didn't have anything to do with my metabolism.
Right.
It had everything, my metabolism was fast because because of the training I did and the type of food I was eating. And I just had to like let go of some things, let go of the abs too.
Yeah.
Like for the guys that are hard gainers.
I was just going to mention that.
Part of that is like the abs start going away and they freak out. I know that because I used to freak out if my abs started going away. What do I do now? If I'm training hard and I need to go up and weight, dude, I'm eating a pint of ice cream before bed.
I was about to say that, like, you know, the paleo
that's
thing.
Real.
The paleo thing and the cutting carbs thing is great for a fat guy. It just clears their mind, I think, and it clears, you know.
It's great for me.
Sins out of their way or whatever, you know, ice cream and stuff.
Right.
But if you're smaller, like, pound some peanut butter ice cream now and then. Who cares? You got to get calories up.
Dude, I got to, you know, I'll have like a 2.5 hour training session at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I get home, I eat a meal. Man, you got to get more calories than that.
If you try to be paleo, you're going to fail really quick.
A lot of people do. They're skinny fat.
Whether you're trying to lose weight or gain weight, you have to have a decent appetite. You have to at least eat frequent meals. You might end up eating less calories overall when you're losing, but the diet is very similar for gaining or for losing. You're
going
to have to get in several meals a day. You're going to have to figure out ways of cranking up your metabolism. You know, another thing too is like there's always all this controversy over cardio. And people talk about, you know, interval training and shit like that, and that's a new wave and that's the new thing and that's what's great and that's a buzzword or whatever. But I mean, look at all the bodybuilders that are fucking shredded. I mean, I know those guys are on fucking steroids and everything else, but look at these guys are getting, you know, they're obtaining super lean physiques without doing, they're not sprinting. And go to any gym, you're not seeing these guys fucking sprint anywhere. They're going
to
do slow paced cardio.
Yeah, Ronnie Coleman's ass running around.
A little, basically, cardio can just help you burn some extra calories. So why not throw, if you're fat and you're not happy with your current build, throw in some fucking cardio. It's just simple. You know,
I think the cardio is good to throw in only, if you've already got got your lifting out of the way.
Well,
because the leanest I ever was, I was training.
Use it as a tool.
I was lifting 2 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was doing zero cardio.
Right, but right. You're working your ass off.
But I was working my ass off.
And you weren't really, a big fat guy, though.
No.
I mean, we know the kind of fat we're talking about is fat. Yeah, I've been there. I know,
what I'm saying is like it doesn't require cardio.
He's talking about fat.
There's a couple of those in the other room.
Fat. Oh yeah, then a little bit of LSD is good.
Yeah.
Long, slow distance.
What makes the treadmill more fun though? Oh, you're talking about the other.
You're gonna need more discipline. You're gonna need you need to change some of your habits. You're gonna have to get rid of some of your bad habits. And if you're on the treadmill for 45 minutes instead of at a fucking buffet, it's probably a good thing.
Go back to the drug thing. People say bodybuilders are only lean because they're taking all that shit. Well, are you getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and going to your local gym and getting on the fucking elliptical for an hour and a half?
Yeah, measuring
everything you put in your face. You're not
try doing
that.
Everything else first.
Come back to that. That's until you are prepared to walk the walk somebody's walking, experience it, and kind of see if it would even work to begin with. Don't talk shit about what somebody's up to. I mean, bodybuilding is highly disciplined. There's lots of shit you can learn from it. Same for powerlifting, same for weightlifting. We're here to fucking find what works and not make excuses for why we're not getting results, right?
Something I like to preach to people too is, so there's a low carb lifestyle. You can just try to cut carbs out the best you can. People always say, how many? I just say zero. Just try not to eat any.
Not even a crouton.
Not even a motherfucking crouton. Stay away from those. just try to cut them out for a while. And then you can, of course, add some back in if you're happier with where you're at. You can start to go to 50 or 100, somewhere in that range. But the other type of diet that I like is just a bodybuilding style diet where you're eating carbs and protein and you're just on you're eating less fat. Mm-hmm. So the key is, you know, if you're on a low carb diet, your fat's going to have to be high. If you're on a bodybuilding style diet, your carbohydrates are going to have to be high and your fat's going to have to be cut back quite a bit.
Something you were saying earlier is you prefer the lower carb.
It's just easier
just
for me.
It's more convenient.
It's more convenient for me. I don't have to be on top of my diet as much. I feel like with the bodybuilder style diet, it is really important to eat like 7 times a day. When I was doing that, it was really effective. But I was also waking up at like 6 a.m. and starting my
it's
eating.
Not fun.
My eating then. Yeah. Which, you know, whatever. It's cool for periods of time. Same with doing cardio and other things like that. Use these different things as weapons and as tools. Use the knowledge that you have and use it to your advantage. You know, if you want to do low carbs for a little while because you think it's going to be more convenient, then do that. If you feel like a bodybuilding style diet is going to fit your needs a little bit more, you want to look into a flexible dieting from Lane Norton, who basically it's somewhat of a modified Weight Watchers thing. You'll probably kill me for saying that, but that's the basis of it. I mean, you're just accounting for your calories. And you're allowed some flexibility. You're allowed to eat whatever you want as long as you're getting in a certain amount of macros every day.
Anything that allows you to get some kind of metric of what's really going on, not just, I don't think I ate too much today, or I think I ate enough.
Yeah, it goes back to consistency, right? I mean, that was the goal. And so the only reason you track your macros or count 7 meals is so you stay consistent every single day. If you're consistent every single day, something good or something bad's going to happen.
It's amazing. That's when magical shit happens.
Yeah, right? It's weird.
And I know you'll get some people that will say, you know, the 7 meals a day doesn't matter. There's been science to prove otherwise. Fuck the science. Just go with what's actually working for people. Like bodybuilders have been using that method for a long time and it clearly works really well for them. So why not just follow in their footsteps? It's just easier that way.
Yeah. Mark, you talked about CrossFit, powerlifting, and Olympic lifting, stealing things from bodybuilders. You know, the discipline in food is huge.
Right.
That's what they need to steal. Yeah, they need to steal like dumbbell rows and some of those stuff, but the discipline bodybuilders
well, they
go
need
through
to
is
row
crazy.
A lot more, that is for sure.
The lifestyle discipline of a bodybuilder beats
it's ridiculous,
any other
right?
sport. I mean, there's definitely guys in CrossFit and weightlifting that have the same level of discipline, but there are no bodybuilders that don't have that discipline.
And the top guys have every minute scheduled out.
You're not a bodybuilder if you don't have the discipline, I guess. That's it rules you out.
Yeah, exactly. They're a different type of personality. If you've met some of the top guys, they're
fucking
odd, but they're
weirdos, man.
Yeah, they're into it.
I
don't
understand
a lot
of
it all.
People
I've got some buddies they're bodybuilders, man, and I grew up with some, and man, they're...
Yeah, different level.
Man, you can't get them to do... a lot of the stuff that you want to do. Like, let's go out and do something. Like, I got to go home and sleep.
Yeah.
Eat my meal and my Tupperware and I'll be in bed. I'm
shave
like,
my asshole and get to bed.
I'm going to go have a good time.
You got to have it looking pretty. But you want that thing, so shiny you can see reflection in it, you know?
Huh?
It's, the difference is that bodybuilding is a sport that doesn't end inside the gym. And the truth of the matter is everyone needs to treat themselves like a professional, whether you're doing CrossFit, strongman, powerlifting, bodybuilding. You need to treat yourself like a professional just the same way some of those guys are doing, just the same way some of the guys in the NBA. LeBron James is not cutting any corners. A lot of these top guys are not cutting any corners. They're doing anything and everything they can to recover. And your average person who's lifting and who wants to get better, people talk about wanting to go to the CrossFit Games. You want to go to the CrossFit Games, you're going to have to leave no stone unturned in your training. There's no way around it.
We talked about that with Jackie.
Yeah, we did talk about that with Jackie. It's just having realistic goals. Like if you don't want to live that lifestyle,
draw the line.
But don't tell me you want to go to the games.
Then make excuses why you didn't go. Like, oh, right. Well, there's drugs.
You left
every half of your stones you didn't touch, not, much less turned over.
Touching stones?
Yeah.
Chris touches my stones almost every day.
Huh?
Mark said, no stones left unturned. I said, right. Well, pick up your stones, bitches.
Oh.
See? We'll bring it back to
it's about zone. Them stones.
Yeah, but if you're not willing to go all in, don't pretend.
Yeah, I hear people talking about unrealistic goals all the time, and it's you're better off just having small goals and working on achieving those goals.
Small, obtainable goals.
Yeah, stuff that you can actually do. You know, if you've done a 405 squat, the next goal should be 425, or you can be like, you know what, I would love to do that for a double someday. I'd love to double 405. I just did it for a single, but hopefully in a few months, if I work hard enough, hopefully I can do it for two.
Dude, every year, it seems like this isn't exactly on the number. But I usually, my goal is like to increase my weightlifting total, snatch and clean and jerk, by 15 kilos. That means that my snatch will probably go up 6 kilos and my clean and jerk maybe 8
and
or 9,
still outstanding
9 kilos.
Progress.
Yeah, and that is like right where I need to be. I know I can hit that.
Right.
It's not unobtainable. I can usually hit it halfway through the year, you know, but I usually like, you know, on January 1, what are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to add 15 kilos to my total.
Right.
And so it's obtainable, but you know, a lot of people are going, oh, I want to add 100 pounds to my squat. And they already squat a lot of weight. I'm like, whoa.
But then you get pissed at yourself, you can't achieve it.
Right. I mean,
it's give yourself
a
hard
thing.
Time too.
Yeah.
Or yeah, if I can't achieve 15 kilos, something bad happened.
Yeah. But you don't go, I'm going to add, you know, 100 pounds to my snatch. Don't get it. Fuss and quit. And then blame other people for being on steroids and shit. You know, it's just, that's what a lot of people essentially do.
That does happen a lot.
I think a lot of people in their training too, they every once in a while, you know, you hear people talking about working on their weaknesses so much, which is cool. But how bad does that suck to always work on what you're not good at? You know, if I had to go out and play tennis every day, I'd be fucking miserable. I can't even hit the ball on the other side of the court in the right spot. So you got to also factor in some of the things that you are good at, some things that make you feel great. Like if you know that you can kick ass in a, you know, in a certain type of clean and jerk movement, maybe it's a modified movement, throw yourself that underhand pitch every once in a while, knock that motherfucker out of the park.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Well, I heard some quote that says like, if you want real success, navigate towards your real power and your real strength and then put double the fucking effort behind it.
Yeah.
Like make, give yourself over totally to something that, a path that will work for you. Like I guess in lifting, if somebody says this is the right way to do it and this feels natural and both are fine, it's okay to do a different path. I mean, if you got to do fucking split snatches because you can't catch a squat snatch, oh, work it in. I mean, yeah. Do whatever works for you.
You know, going back to what you're saying, I find about 50% of my training has to be stuff I'm good at.
Yeah, of course.
If I break, if I'm starting to do a majority of the training I'm bad at, I automatically... My motivation just tanks.
Yeah, you don't want to go to the gym anymore.
Well,
yeah,
and also it. Stuff that you're bad at, it could start to get too weird, like a one-legged clean or something. I mean, who the fuck cares what you do with that, right?
Hey, that's the movement right there.
Yeah, I'm
going
to do some
one-legged snatch.
I know it's a little bit and like weird. Trying to get okay at Olympic lifts too, like where you start trying to learn the pulling mechanics, you change up your deadlift form, you start getting okay at it. You're at the point where you're not totally embarrassing yourself snatching if you're like a powerlifter, but at the same time, you let your deadlift strength completely come out from underneath you.
Right.
What I always like to tell people is there's only one way to get a PR every single time you walk inside the gym, and that's to try some different things, some things that you've never done before. So
they're going to say show up every 6 months.
Well, I was going to say take steroids. but really just try something different, you know, like if you're, let's say you go to squat and 225 feels like 400 pounds and you know that you're up against it, your buddy's kicking ass and everybody else seems to be having fun and kicking ass, but you're miserable because this hurts and that hurts. Throw yourself a different rep range. So I'm going to see what I can do for 7 today. I'm going to get to four plates and I'm going to see if I can do it for 6 or 7 reps.
Yeah.
And why is that a PR? Cause you never fucking tried it before. It's new. So you can have different rep records. You can you got to keep in mind, you can do whatever you want inside the gym. People always say, oh, I'm on this program. I got to use bands today. I got to use chains today. Stop being so fucking gay. Use your imagination.
Disclaimer.
There it is. Boom. Use your imagination and have fun with it.
Well, the programming police won't jump out of the corner and ask you to leave the gym if you don't abide by your strict program. Like,
right.
If you feel like shit and you try to go for that max deadlift, you might just blow your spine out your back.
When you lose
discretion or whatever.
You won't lose any strength either. If you're programmed to do right. 575 on the deadlift and you only do 425 or 525 for two, numbers don't matter. But whatever, you get what I'm saying. You're still going to be fine next
two
week.
Years from now, it's not like you're going to be weaker because of that day.
You can leave yourself, you know, on a good note too. Like if you did miss a lift, you know, what do you do from there? You just fold up and head home. You know, you feel like it, right? Feel like going home and just eating some Ben and Jerry's and watching Biggest Loser and just crying.
That sounds like a good Friday night to me. I don't
or is
know.
That just
not
me.
Just crying?
Oh, jeez. All right, let's wrap this up. I think CTP's battery's about to go dead.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Bitch, we wore your battery out. We'll wear this whole fucking podcast out all goddamn day.
He's got to film us training next. All right, Mark, what do you got to promote? Plug yourself.
Nothing, man. If you like my shit, go check it out, howmuchyoubench.net. If you don't, eat a dick.
Boom.
There you go. Something like anything to add?
Yeah, that's about it. You can find us on the interweb somewhere.
Yeah, I will say go to YouTube, type in Super Training TV.
Supertraining.tv.
Yeah.
That's the URLs, right?
Yep.
Fantastic. Like stretching back like 6 years.
You probably
fantastic
don't
want to
go on there because there's actually a really great, awesome podcast on there, which would conflict with this podcast that we're doing, but it's really cool. And we talk about powerlifting. We talk about.
No,
poop.
Man, the Powercast
oh, wait,
is
I'm
cool.
Promoting.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, check out supertraining.tv. A lot of great information.
Yeah,
on
check
there.
It out.
That's where it's all at.
And definitely follow Mark on Instagram. It was at Mark Smelly Belly.
That's it.
Yeah. Like that. And, you'll be entertained on a daily basis, guaranteed.
Some awesome selfies on there.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hashtag no shame.
Got to get them abs in there.
Yeah.
And don't forget, go to barbellshrug.com, sign up for the newsletter so we can send you sweet emails.
It was a lot of fun being on the show, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on, Mark.
Cheers, everyone.